looking at this prayer that Paul prays at the end of chapter 3 over the last several weeks, and we've noted who he was praying to. It's important to know who you're talking to when you ask something. If you're asking for resources or you're asking for something big, you want the person to be able to actually provide. You don't go ask somebody that's broke for money because they can't give it to you, right? But we know that our God is all-powerful, and we've looked at that He is the one who has all the spiritual riches in heaven. We also looked at the content of what Paul prayed and how we can take these prayers that are in the Bible, turn them around, and turn them into our prayers for one another as well. And tonight we're going to look at the results of Paul's prayers and the results that we can expect as well. And I want you just to imagine a scene for a moment, a scenario where you have this new house that you've bought, and you go and you get all your stuff moved in, but you never turn the light switches on. You never turn the air conditioning on. You never plug anything into the outlets. And in order for you to see at night, you walk around with a candelabra, and you go outside and you have a well that you're manually pumping the water, and you're doing the old 1800s type of lifestyle in this house. At some point, your neighbors might think you've got some kind of problem, because why do you have this house that's brand new? It's got all these updated appliances. It's got power hooked up to your house, but you're not using any of the power at all. You're acting as though that stuff is not there. And the truth is, that's how a lot of us live our Christian life. We act as though we have no power. And it's because we're not tapping into the power that comes to us only through prayer. And to be clear, I'm not suggesting that what we need to do is to pray for anything and everything we want, and God is just going to give us the desires of our heart. But what the Bible does tell us is that if we will desire the Lord, if we'll be in relationship with the Lord, pursuing Him, then the desires of our heart are going to become the desires that God has. We're going to desire the things that God desires and long for those things. And what we're going to end up asking for are things that are in accordance with His will. And He promises us that anything we ask for, that we will receive if we're in that state. And so we're going to look at that tonight as we look at the results of this prayer. Now, I want to go back and put the results in context. We're going to zero in on verses 20 and 21, but to kind of see the whole prayer, if you've got your Bible, look with me in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Tonight, we're going to look at the last two verses of this passage and witness the results of our prayers. But in order to do that, we have to keep the sequence in mind. First of all, we noted that we're praying to God. And in this context, just to remind you of what's going on in Ephesus, this was a region where there was a lot of dark demonic forces at play here. And there was a lot of spiritual riches, or there was a lot of riches there. They had a temple to Artemis of the Ephesians, and it was a very wealthy city, a very wealthy temple. And so these themes of power and wealth are brought together in this letter that Paul is writing to the Christians there, and he wants them to realize that they have great power. They have greater power than the emperor himself. They have greater power than any king on earth. They have greater riches than all the riches of the world combined in Christ Jesus to access and to have at our disposal. And so he starts by addressing that prayer to God. But then in order for us to see the results that we're going to look at tonight, you have to have these things that he prays in his prayer. You have to have the power of His Spirit in your inner being. In other words, you have to be a believer in Christ Jesus. You have to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And as the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, Christ is coming through the person of the Holy Spirit to live within you so that you can do all of these things that you're called to do. You can be rooted and grounded in love. You can be strengthened according to His power. You can have the love of God flowing through you to flow out to other people and have this knowledge that comes with knowing Christ. And so once you have this relationship established where you have that relationship with God and you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can expect the results that Paul's going to talk about. And he talks about three results that we see tonight in this prayer that God will work out through us. First of all, we're going to see God's ability. We're going to secondly see God's power, and then we're going to see God's glory. The first thing we see is God's ability. And in verse 20, he says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." How many of you have memorized that verse, or you kind of have that as one of those halfway memorized verses in your mind, and you've heard it before, right? And how many of you have ever reminded yourself of that? Now, I know when I need God's strength, and I know when I'm faced with a difficult situation, that God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And sometimes we even throw this out kind of cliche in church. It's one of those church phrases. But don't let the familiarity of this verse cause you to miss what Paul is saying here. Look at the words again. Now to him, going back to who it is that we're praying for, or praying to, we're praying to God, and remember that he's told us already in verses 14 through 16 that he's our Father, so we have this special relationship with him, and he's not just a distant God, but we're in this interpersonal relationship where you can go to your father. Imagine if your father was the President of the United States. I'm going to tell y'all a little story tonight. It's not her fault, I don't believe, but let me whitewash the story a little bit. We have a person in our family that got stopped for not fully stopping at a stop sign. She stops and she looks, but she's short, and so she pulls forward a little bit more to see, and I really believe the officer was having a bad day that day, and so she gets a ticket, no warning. New driver, you know, if you're good at critical thinking, you'll figure out who it is. But she gets a ticket, and I'm just like, what in the world? She said, I stopped. She said, I was literally right there at the church that she was coming from. She said, I stopped, but I had to pull forward to look. And so now she's counting to 15 before she goes anywhere. So if you happen to be behind her, you'll know. But if I was the chief of police, imagine what would happen. She'd get off no problem, right? It's all about who you know. Well, you're in this relationship with God as your Father, and He's the one that spoke everything into existence. That changes everything. That changes the expectations that we have when we pray. Even things that are impossible are possible because of our Father. But then He also says He's the one that every family in heaven and on earth is named, and He has the riches of His glory at His disposal. So then, when we see what Paul says He is able to do, listen to the stacking of terms here, far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Don't let any of those words get lost in the familiarity of this verse. Every single word in Scripture is divinely inspired by God. He's able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ever ask or think. God has the ability to handle our problems, and that's why we come to Him in prayer. And Paul wrote something similar to this in 2 Corinthians 9:8, where he said, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. If you're having a hard time getting along with somebody because they're just annoying, they grind on your nerves, and you say, Lord, I can't deal with this person. I'm about to start a prison ministry because I'm about to take them out, and they're going to send me to jail. You are able to do far more abundantly that he's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, and he can make all grace abound so that having all sufficiency in all things, you can do every good work. You know, the problem is that we tend to be limited, not God. God is he's infinitely creative. He's able to do far more than we could ever come to him in prayer and ask. And sometimes, by his mercy, he does what we don't even ask for. The problem is we're limited, and we will tend to go to God with what we would see as a human solution to a spiritual problem. We'll try to do it in our own strength. So God, just help me to be able to do this. And God's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. He's infinite in his ability and his creative abilities. I was going to show you this, but for time's sake, I don't have this up here. But if you look up this, you can see there's a place where the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and they've had a lot of people try to figure out where it was. But there's a geographical region where they really believe that the Israelites crossed there, and it's deep water still. It's not like these people who try to say they crossed through inches of water, which that's a miracle too, by the way. If they did cross through inches of water, Pharaoh's whole army drowned in inches of water. You can't take the divine out of this. But it's a place where the Israelites were kind of on this little beachy area. They were funneled down in. They had a mountain on one side, the sea on the other. And when Pharaoh's army comes up, he's trapped them and pinned them in. They can't go backwards because the Egyptians are there, and they can't go forward. And so God comes and puts the pillar of fire in there. The Egyptians think they've done it. Now, God could have led the Israelites out of Egypt a number of different ways, but he brought them to this place where it was impossible for them to do what they needed to do. It was impossible for them to get out of this situation so that God could bring them across and drown the Egyptian army. And the result of this, now this is the superpower of the world at this time, the result of this is that now all the nations know who the real God is. If they didn't already know it from the plagues, they now know it. And the people were in fear of the Israelites as they were coming up to the promised land. God's creative in how he displays his power. But the other good thing about this is that sometimes we don't know what we ought to ask for. So it's good that God can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, because as Romans 8, 26 and 27 tells us, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. How many of you have ever been praying for something and you've wondered whether or not you're praying the right prayer? And you come to God and you're like, God, I'm praying, but I don't know if I'm praying the right thing. Here's the assurance that we have. No matter what you put together in your prayer, and no matter what you ask, the Holy Spirit will take what you pray and pray the right thing for you. So you may be getting it all the way wrong, but you can have the assurance to know that the Holy Spirit gets it right, and God will answer the Holy Spirit's prayers on your behalf. So we see that God has the ability to answer our prayers, but then again, we see his power on display. Again, he says he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. How? According to the power at work within us. Now, this is power that's working within us. It works through the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to have that relationship with God. Now, sometimes God may answer an unbeliever's prayer. He may do that out of his grace, but generally speaking, God answers the prayers of those who belong to him. So you have the Holy Spirit living within you, but think about the power that God has. Sometimes as Christians, the best way to help our prayer life is maybe to go see some scenic site that displays the power of God. If you're a mountain person, go to the mountains. If you're a beach person, go to the beach. And just look at everything around you. We don't have to go anywhere. We can go outside and we can look around. You can start looking into science and seeing the intricacies of science. And, you know, scientists used to think that the more they started to see, like, science on a micro level, the more they would realize that God couldn't exist. But it's been the complete opposite. In fact, there are a lot of scientists that are leaving evolutionism, the evolutionary worldview, because they cannot reconcile what they see with that viewpoint. There is a designer. There has to be. And when we look at this, we give glory to God. We praise God for what He's done. And He did all this by speaking this world into existence. The Bible says He actually holds the world together by His might and by His power. And so tonight, I know we're in the middle of this Perseids meteor shower right now, so maybe you want to go outside tonight, and you might have to sleep there all night, or you might have to have the buddy system, but if you lay down on the ground and you look up at the sky, you'll see shooting stars coming by. It's just a reminder of His power. Now, you might not be able to get up. That's why you better bring a blanket, bring a pillow, or have a buddy to help you up, but you see His power on display. That's the same power that's at work in you and me. He's able to do what we ask. Now, if He doesn't answer our prayers the way we want to, it might be that He has something better in store. It might be that we were asking the wrong thing or for the wrong motive. And so God is good enough not to give us everything that we ask for. And that's a good thing. But the last thing we want to look at tonight is His glory. The reason that God does all of this is for His glory. And sometimes we are glory hogs. We think that God shouldn't get all the glory, or that God is egotistical because He wants to bring glory to Himself. He is the only God there is. There's no one else to bring glory to but God alone. And so He is always magnifying His glory. But as He magnifies His glory, He also shows His love and His grace and His mercy towards us. So He's a good God. But look at what He says in verse 21. He breaks out in this doxology. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Our aim ought to be the glory of God in our lives and in the church. So when we come together, everything that we do in here is to bring glory to God. It's not to highlight our talents. It's not to get people to look at us and say, oh man, y'all are awesome, or look at they can sing really good, or they can play an instrument really good, or they're just really smart, and they understand the Bible better than everybody. We do it all for the glory of God, and we're always pointing back to God, and not in a false sense, but in a true sense of wanting to bring glory to God when we're here in the church. But then when we go out, the reason we live our lives the way we live them is because we want to bring glory to God. The reason that we evangelize is because God deserves every person to bow the knee in worship to Him. God deserves the praise of all of His creatures, so we evangelize for the glory of God. We want the nations to know our God and to give glory to Him, and we do all of this for Him. And He says that this is throughout all generations, so we're a part of this. This wasn't just for His time period. This was for all generations. Now again, remember, Paul's in prison when he's writing this, and even his imprisonment, he says, is for the glory of God. He is grateful for everything he's going through so that God might be glorified in everything that's done. So let me ask you something. How many of you want to spend time in prayer because of who you know? You know, if God didn't answer any of our prayers, just the opportunity that we have to be able to talk to our Heavenly Father is enough. It'll encourage you, it'll change the way you live your life and strengthen you, but as we talk to Him, we get to know Him more. We get to know the mind of God, and so we ought to desire to stuff. It's very simple to hear from God when you pray. Open the Word up and read it. It's a two-way conversation. You're voicing to God your prayer. You're reading the Word and hearing what He has to say to you. So has it been a while since you've taken time to pray to God and have a spirit of prayer that is ongoing? Don't try to do 45 minutes of prayer in the morning if you haven't been praying. Pray for about 5 seconds if that's all you got. And then throughout the day, as you think about it, pray again. Maybe make yourself an app alarm that goes off, hey, remember to pray. You can set apps like some people set their alarm clock. They've got 20 alarm clocks going off in the morning to make sure they get up. Maybe you need 20 little alarms that say, hey, remember to pray. And if you just took a couple of minutes, how many of you, if your significant other or your child, just throughout the day, hey, I just wanted to remind you I love you. How many of you would that make your day just to hear from them? Remember, we're talking to our Heavenly Father. Do you ever take your cares and your burdens to Him to get them off your chest and realize He can handle your situation? We have the freedom of leaving everything with the Lord and realizing we don't have to take that back with us. He says for us to just focus on the kingdom of God, focus on today's troubles. And so we leave it with God, knowing He has the power to handle it, and we go forward with that assurance, and it'll help cure your anxiety. It'll help cure the weight that you're carrying around. And then think about praying for someone other than yourself. Paul's praying this prayer for the church. He's not just praying for himself. So many times our prayers are so self-centered and so me-focused. Pray for your church. Pray through the prayer list that's in your bulletin there. Pray for these requests that are being put up for us to pray for with Ignite. Matthew Henry, he said this, "It is proper always to end prayers with praises," as Paul does here. He says, "It is always proper to end prayer with praises. Let us expect more, ask more, and be encouraged by what Christ has already done for our souls, being assured that the conversion of sinners and the comfort of believers will be to His glory forever and ever." Everything we ought to do ought to be for the glory of God. Father, Lord, we come to You tonight, Lord, and thank You for the unlimited power and the resources that we have available to us if we'll just turn the light switch on and plug into the power of being a praying church. Lord, I pray that we would not live as if we're living in the 1800s anymore as Christians, that we would come to You, Lord, and reflect on who You are and enjoy You, enjoy Your presence, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we begin to be a praying people, that You would continue to bring needs to our minds, Lord, that we can lift up and we get to see You answer these prayers and change lives, that we get to see circumstances changed because we came to You in prayer. Lord, I pray that we would not try to overanalyze things and try to explain away what happened when we have prayed and we see You answer these prayers, but we would realize that it was according to Your power that anything happened, that anything was done. And Lord, I pray that we would do it all for the glory of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, ma'am.